Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and the 7th verse. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 7. And Moses called unto Joshua and said up to him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31 and verse 7. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Moses had come to the close of his life here in this earth, and the Lord had wonderfully anointed Joshua to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. You see, Moses came to represent the law. Joshua was to be a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus and to lead the children of Israel into Canaan, the promised land. And here, as he comes to the close of his journey in this earth, he was favoured with a beautiful view of Canaan. And I often think of that sacred verse that the dear hymn writer wrote concerning Moses, that we might climb where Moses stood and view the landscape o'er, not death's cold streams nor Jordan's flood would fright us from the shore. And oh, you see, Moses was favoured with that beautiful view of the land, but he was to not enter into the natural Canaan, but into the heavenly Canaan. But here in this chapter, he calls all Israel together and speaks to them so faithfully, doesn't he? And so lovingly, and gives them sweet words of encouragement and sweet words of comfort. But then there was a special word to be spoken to Joshua, and that is what's found in our text. And we read, and Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel. You know, they were all to hear what he said to Joshua. And though it was a personal message for Joshua, because he was to need this. And really, I want us help this morning to look at a particular clause in this text that's rested with me so much during this week. And really, dear Mr. Wheatley confirmed it on Thursday in his discourse and two in the reading. And the clause that I want to particularly bring before you at this time is this: for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them. Particularly, thou must go with this people. You know, it was a clear word, wasn't it, of direction to Joshua. And it was exactly what he needed. You know, when the Lord speaks a word to his dear people, he speaks it because they're in need of it. Now, look in your heart and mine this morning. Do we need the Lord to speak to us? You see, it wasn't just Moses that was speaking this word. It was the Lord speaking through him, because Joshua was to need this. For thou must go with this people. There's no doubt Joshua had many fears concerning leading them, because he had witnessed what they were like. They were God's people, wonderfully brought out of Egypt, put in that narrow way through the wilderness. But you know, there were many times he experienced their stiff-necked and their rebelliousness. He knew it would not be easy to lead them. And it won't be easy for any servant of God in any pathway that, or any child of God for that matter, the way they got to walk. But you see, he was to need this, for thou must go with this people. And it may be the Lord will speak that to one soul here, for thou must go with this people. Well, who were these people? Well, I hinted at it just now, didn't I? They were the Lord's dear people. We can really measure our religion by what people we go with. Man by nature will go with what his nature wants and the people that his nature wants. And that is the world, the ungodly, those that dwell in sin and know not the Lord. That's what man is by nature. Or there may be those that will go with those with a form of religion. We think of the Apostle Paul that I often mention. You know, he was brought up under the most straitest sect of religion. He went along with them as a Pharisee. But when the Lord called him by his grace and brought him on that Damascus road to truly fear the Lord, he realized he couldn't go with them any longer. Who was he to go with? The people of God. Thou must go with this people. And the Lord made him willing to go with them, because he showed him that all that religion that was only flesh and was only the work of man would never get him to heaven. It must be God's work. And you see, what drew him and will draw us, if we're his children, to go with his people, will be the several reasons. Let me name a few. First of all, he could see the Lord was with them. And though with Joshua there was to lead a stiff-necked and rebellious people, he knew they were God's dear people because the Lord was with them. We will know there were times when he forsook them because of their sin, and often he forsakes us because of our sin, doesn't he? But the first reason for him to go with them, because the Lord was with them, and it was the Lord that had brought him to desire to go with them. Like he did the Apostle Paul. You see, in effect, what the Lord did with the Apostle Paul was he stamped death on all that natural religion. And I've told you before, in my early days, I shall never forget it. It didn't matter what I looked at that my old flesh loved, like sport and many things of this earth. The Lord stamped death on it all, so I couldn't rest on it. The word of God tells us very clearly, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord, God of Israel. And here he was drawing Joshua away from this earth to lead the children of God and to go with them. To go with them. And you see, another reason why we will be drawn to the people of God will be the Lord will give us not only a love to the Lord, but a love to his people. We sang, didn't we, on Thursday, that beautiful hymn, and I shall never forget it, being given out by Mr. Burford at Black Boys many years ago. I love her gate. I love the road, the church adorned with grace, stands like a palace built for God to show his martyr face. I love the Lord with mind and heart, his people and his ways. Envy and pride and lust depart, and all his works I praise. Thou must go with this people. And you see, the Lord was to make Joshua willing to go with them. What was the language of dear Ruth? And this is really what confirmed me in this, because as we heard on Thursday evening so beautifully set forth, you see, the Lord was to bring her out of Moab. She couldn't go with them in Moab any longer, or go with their gods. Why? Because, you see, the Lord had stamped death on it all. There was no prospect there for her soul. He was to go with God's dear people. And you look how the Lord made her willing to go with Naomi. As our text says, for thou must go with this people. He didn't say, perhaps you can go, or if you do this or do that, you can go. Ye must go. Now, don't forget that this morning. I preach it to myself. And then you look how the Lord made dear Ruth willing. She says, thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. You know, Naomi was a beautiful type, really, of the church of God. And it was with this people that dear Ruth had to go with. She couldn't walk with the world. You cannot walk with the world and walk with God's people as well. It's impossible. No man can serve two masters. But ye must go with this people. Clear direction, you see. And the Lord was wonderfully to bring, as we heard on Thursday, the blessings forth out of going with his people. And here, the Lord was to wonderfully bless Joshua in going with these dear people. Oh, he was. But then, let's look at another illustration of this. We think of dear Rebecca. You know, when Abraham's servant was sent to seek a wife for Isaac, when he came to the house of Laban and Bethuel, God had sent him there. And he was to make, the Lord was, Rebekah willing to go. And now you think of this question, and you see that dear servant was a beautiful type, really, of the Lord Jesus. And when this question was put to Rebekah, they, Laban and Bethuel said, didn't they, we will inquire at her mouth. The Lord had wonderfully brought her to the well at the appointed time in answer to the prayer of Abraham's servant. How he'd pleaded all the way there, the Lord would appear, and the Lord granted him his request. And she used to come forth, wasn't she, and to say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Exactly what he prayed. And it's a wonderful thing, isn't it, when the Lord gives us exactly what we prayed for. It may be in a way completely opposite to what we have anticipated the Lord would work. But what a mercy when he's pleased to grant us our request. And he did Abraham's servant. And how he made known that errand to the house, didn't he? How he'd come. And you look at the sweet invitation that was wonderfully spoken when he came to the house. What did they say to him? Come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camel. A few weeks ago, I listened up. This was up the country, the testimony of a young man, and you know what finally constrained him to come was when I quoted those words: "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without?" And you know the Lord spoke it right into his heart. Sweet word, wasn't it, from heaven? And, you know, they were to inquire at Rebekah's mouth, wilt thou go with this man? Let us lift it above, far above Abraham's servant to the dear Lord Jesus. If you were put to the test today, would you go with the world, or will you go with his dear people and a precious Jesus, wilt thou go with this man? What would you say? She said, I will go. The Lord had made her willing. I will go. I love that couplet of the hymn, you know. We sung it at Eastbourne, the baptising just recently. And very sweet word of that hymn, isn't it? When we got to that line, it just melted me. I'll go, for all his paths of peace. Sacred word, you know. And oh, may it be so with you today. I will go, for all his paths of peace. And you look how willing Rebecca was to go with that dear servant back to Isaac. You see, in her going, and the same with Joshua, the same with Ruth, there's a wonderful blessing in it, wasn't there? They were all to be blessed. I'll go. For thou must go with this people. And you look how favoured dear Ruth was in going. Firstly, in gleaning in the field of Boaz. Wonderful thing, you know, to glean in his house under the reading of the word or under the ministry or under the hymns that we sing. Oh, to be a real gleaner in the field of the heavenly Boaz. Ye gleaners, one and all, the dear poet said. But then too, she was to be led to lie at the feet of Boaz in the threshing floor. You know, it's a wonderful favour to be at the feet of Jesus. Boaz, a beautiful type of Christ. You know, the old preachers used to say, and how true it is the safest place for the child of God to be in the earth, but to be at the feet of Jesus. To lie at his feet. To sit at his feet. Oh, you think of those beautiful characters in the Word of God. We think of Legion, the mad Gadarene. Where did the Lord bring him? He brought him away from all the deadness of those tombs. And he brings him to the feet of Jesus. And we read, don't we? He sat at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Oh, that we might ever be there. You know, there's no jars when we are there. All we shall want to be Christ. Basking really in his love, in his presence, in his favour. There was the place of pardon and of peace. They shall look on him whom they have pierced and mourn for him. And then you think of dear Mary in the Word of God and the house of Martha and Mary. She knew what it was to sit at Jesus' feet. And she knew what it was to learn of him You know, that comes right down to the real seeking exercise, child of God, really. Learning of him. The hymn writer said, we are but learners yet, didn't he? To be in the school of Christ. But then we think of the dear woman in the house of Simon the Pharisee. You know, she crept behind him and washed his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. We see a broken-hearted sinner weeping over her sin. Weeping because she knew what it was to grieve him, and a real mourner. And she wipes them with the hairs of her head. Oh, the humility, you know, that's the place where we're most humble, is at the feet of Jesus. Humbled at his feet. There's no room for self, there's no room for pride, there's no room for self-righteousness, there's no room for the world there. It's Jesus only. That's all the sinner will want. But then, think too of that dear woman, what she experienced at his feet. He pronounced firstly to Simon that all her sin was forgiven, and then he pronounced it to the dear woman. You know, there's no doubt, and I think a few of us have known a little of it, where she could have gone straight from that spot to heaven. That's what she would have desired. You got a few places where you could have put your arms up and said, Lord, take me home to glory. Don't let me sin anymore. For thou must go with this people. With this people. And then this is a not only a clear word for the seeking child of God in the commencing of their spiritual journey, it's a clear word to those that are exercised concerning following him in his sweet commandments and ordinances and ways. They must go with this people. I think of that beautiful couplet in the hymn. I may have spoken of it before, but my late dear aunt that was at Staplehurst, you know, she was only 53 when the Lord took her home to glory. But in 1951, she was so blessed. As she lay on her bed, the devil was trying to pull her down to hell. And she said, you know, she said, I felt as though as he gripped me that he'd pull me out and I'd fall out of the bed straight into hell. And she said, oh, what a night it was. But she said she got to the point where she really felt the devil was going to have his way. And as he drew her to pull her into hell, the Lord appeared. And the glory of the Lord filled the room. And she had such a blessed view, by faith, of the dear Redeemer. suffering on Calvary's tree, bleeding, dying for her. And she said the devil was gone and her soul was at liberty. And through the abundance of that blessing, she felt she must venture to follow her dear Redeemer. And when she was baptized by the late pastor then, the late Mr. Hammond, and she came up out of the water, and she said to those that cared for her afterwards this beautiful verse of the hymn: "There would I find a settled rest, while others go and come, no more a stranger or a guest, but like a child at home." And you know, if you look at it naturally, a child at home is free, isn't it? You take it somewhere else, it's apprehensive what to do, what it's allowed to do, or where it's allowed to go. But at home, it's free, isn't it? It knows its limits, it knows its bounds, it's free. A child at home. And you think about that spiritually, you know. The Lord made her willing to go with this people, with his people, and she felt at home with them. And that's a wonderful thing, you know, feeling at home. There have been a few times where I've gone to a place to preach that I'm over the years I've never preached at before, and you know, there have been those times where I felt such at home, and you know, it's a wonderful thing, you know. And thou must go with this people, and Joshua must do what God had commanded him. You see, he must go with them. There was no doubt about it. Why? Because this was the Lord's way. This was the Lord's will. There was no people to him like these dear people. The hymn writer said, "My soul shall pray for Zion still, while life and breath remains. There my best friends, my kindred dwell. There God, my Saviour, reigns." And so this is a sweet word for those, you see, that venture in his way. But then it's a wonderful word too to a servant of God regarding a pastorate. On the late dear servants of God that's now in heaven, I remember he was asked to go to take a pastorate at one of our chapels, and he said, "I knew so much about the place and so much about the troubles there were." And he said, "I said to the Lord, 'Lord, I can't go, I won't go because of all these things.'" That's what his nature felt. And he resented it to start with, even the invitation. But the Lord spoke to him, this word that's in our text. And you know, he spoke it, the Lord did, with such power that it swept aside all the things that his nature was looking at, his carnal mind, that seemed impossible. And the Lord said to him, for thou must go with this people. And as the Lord spoke it, you know, he swept away all the hindrances, all the things that were to keep him back from going, and made him so willing. What do we read in Psalm 110? Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. That's a wonderful word, you know. The Lord, you see, will make his dear people willing. I was thinking when I lay in bed before I rose this morning of this text, and I thought, you know, of the dear Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. How he must go to Calvary. There was no other way that he could redeem his dear church, his dear bride, but to go to Calvary, to suffer, to lay down his precious life, to shed his precious blood for them, that they might inherit the kingdom. But he goes on to say here, doesn't he? Thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And you think how willing, and there may be those of you that may be rebellious or may say, well, we'd love to go with them, but we find there's so much in us that rebels against it. But you see, the Lord can remove all that rebelliousness. Thou must go with this people. And think of the dear Redeemer. He must go to Calvary. And in going, you see, you may say, well, I've got so much to suffer, I've got so much to leave, but thou must go with this people. And you look how the dear Redeemer was willing. That's what I was going to say, how sweet it was to me this morning. The will of the Lord be done. And how willing the Saviour was. We sing in the hymn, don't we? How willing was Jesus to die, that we poor sinners might live. For thou must go. Don't forget that must. It's not my word. It's the Lord's word. Thou must go. There's a certainty here, you see. The old preachers used to say, there's, throughout the Word of God, there's these divine certainties. And thou must go with this people. And you know, the day is coming with each of us when we must go from this earth. But where are we going? These dear people, as our text says, were going to a promised land. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. He sworn that they should inherit this land, you see. He'd given it to them. And he's given the heavenly Canaan to his dear people. The gift of God. And then he says, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. The wise, we are told in the word of God, shall inherit glory. They shall inherit it. But shame shall be the promotion of fools. But the wise, they shall inherit glory. and they were to inherit this land, Joseph. But they must go with them. Oh, think of Ruth, or what was preached from on Thursday, and then I must leave it. But you think of what she said. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And she wanted not only to die with them, but she wanted to be buried with them. Oh, she did. Such was her love to the people of God. May it be so with us each, amen.